with me and in me, and with you and in you, and with all of you and in all of you at exactly the same time. He is here in His disembodied presence, the Holy Spirit. That means just Jesus without a body. He vanished from their sight. And they said one to another, were not our hearts burning within us while He was speaking to us on the road and while He was explaining the Scriptures to us? And they arose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, the Lord has really risen. Now there's a difference between saying the Lord is risen and the Lord has really risen. Or the King James says the Lord is risen indeed. Now, let me ask you, by experience today, can you say the Lord's risen indeed? Or do you have to go by the testimony of history and somebody else's experience and say the Lord is risen? Can you say He is really alive because I have met Him, I have encountered Him, I have conversed with Him, I have been filled with Him today? I know He is really risen. If you can't, you're not a Christian now. The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon. And they began to relate their experiences on the road and how He was recognized by them in the breaking of bread. And while they were telling these things, Jesus Himself suddenly stood in their midst. He stayed a little while. They were looking at His corporeal form, His body, and suddenly He was gone again as far as visible sight was concerned. Where did He go? Nowhere. That's right. He went from visible to invisible, and right back again and back again. And while they were looking at Him, He would be gone. And then as they were looking right through space as they conversed, suddenly a body would materialize and there He would be. That was His way of saying, I'm getting ready to retire from you physically. I'm going to take my body and install it in my place of supremacy and authority at my Father's right hand. But when I disappear out of your sight, I am nonetheless present with you when you cannot see me. I am still here. And He's here right now. Count the people and add one, because Jesus is here. You see, we read the Gospels backwards. We start at what we call the beginning, Matthew chapter 1, Mark chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, John chapter 1. When if it hadn't started at some other point, there wouldn't have been any gospel to begin with. You see, we ought to read the gospels backwards. If you want to know the truth about Jesus, don't start with His birth. Too possible to debate there. Don't even start with His death. No debate there. But you won't understand the bafflement of that unless you understand something else. Start with His resurrection. You see, His resurrection starts from the middle and works all the way out in the Gospels in all directions. If there weren't any resurrection, there wouldn't be any Christian day of worship. So we're a memorial to the resurrection in our assembly here today. If there weren't any resurrection, there wouldn't be a New Testament. Not one line of the New Testament would have been written in any form as we would recognize it for what it is today without the resurrection of Christ. If it were not for the resurrection, there would not be any Christian church. If it were not for the resurrection, there would not be any Christians. So you could not be saved if it were not for the resurrection of Christ. So all of these things that are true of us are one by one memorials of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that literally, actually, really happened. You see, there is a general law of mortality that characterizes all men. I mean all men. Here's what it says. Dust you are, and to dust you're going back. You came out of dust, dust you are, to dust you will return. That simply means that it's the tendency of men mortally to die. And it's the obvious tendency of dead men to stay dead. You just don't run into every day somebody who's risen from the dead in a physical body with a physical resurrection. The law of nature is that there is a regularity to its cycle. You're born, you live, and you die. And dead men stay dead. But there's a radical exception to that. And that radical exception sets the direction, the tone, and the tenor for all of those who have gathered themselves in the train of that one person who is the exception to the rule, so that one of these days, you talk about an Easter parade, we're going to see one. That's right. Every man in his own order, the Bible says, Christ the first fruits who came out of the grave, and afterwards all of those who belong to Christ at His coming. He is the final leader, the Bible calls Him, the honor of the rank. He's out there in front, and all of us in our order are going to come following Him. All of those I have ever known who died trusting in Jesus are going to be in those ranks. If I die before Jesus comes back, He's going to raise me from the dead with a body that is revolutionized and transformed. I'm going to fall in the rank behind my file leader because He is alive. He broke a hole in the end of death big enough for anybody who follows Him to go right through after Him. He is alive. Now, right in the heart of these resurrection realities, there are several facts that must not be missed by anybody who really wants to know the truth about Jesus Christ. I want to mention just two of them today, and I'll basically put much of the outline aside and just go as the Lord gives us time and opportunity. The first resurrection reality is the empty tomb in the garden. Did you know that 32 times in the closing chapters of the Gospels, the Gospels refer to that tomb 32 times in four Gospels, in the closing verses of those four Gospels. In every mention of that tomb, there's one of two ideas presented to the world. Either that tomb is the depositing or repository, the depositing place for a person who is about to be entered into it bodily, or it has already been broken open and that body is gone. So the first indication of any resurrection reality is that that tomb that had received the corporeal remains of the Son of God in bodily flesh, so that it was laid out in burial wrappings on a burial bed inside that tomb, and that heavy disc of a stone was rolled out in its slot and plucked in place there so that it sealed that, and a Roman seal was put on the door outside that stone, and a unit of Roman soldiers, or at least temple guard, were placed there to guard it. All of a sudden, on the morning of the third day, that tomb was opened and empty, and that body was gone. So that the first problem of any doubter of the gospel of Jesus Christ is always the problem of the empty tomb. On Friday, I want you to hear me carefully. I believe it was Friday morning. I believe Jesus was crucified on Thursday. On Friday morning, that tomb had a body in it. It was sealed in there, so it was apparently safe in there. Then on Sunday morning, that tomb was opened, however you account for it, the Bible gives away, and suddenly it was known that that body was gone. Now, I've got a question for you. What happened to it? Now, there are a lot of possible explanations, because an empty tomb doesn't necessarily mean a resurrection. You better not talk about a resurrection without an empty tomb, but you can talk all day about an empty tomb and have no resurrection. So it doesn't necessarily prove anything. The question is, what happened to that body? There are four possibilities. At least four, and three of them have been advanced by those who do not want a resurrection because it makes them absolutely uncomfortable in the presence of a holy God and His Son, Jesus Christ. The first possibility is those women, in their blindness, not familiar with Jerusalem, who had come out of Galilee, they went to the tomb earlier in the week when Jesus' remains were placed there. They came back on Sunday morning, and they forgot where the tomb was and thus went to the wrong one. And there was a young man there. One of the Gospels tells us this. He was an angel. But it says he was a young man there. And he said to them, I understand what's wrong. You're in a problem. You're in a dilemma. You're seeking Jesus of Nazareth. And then he said, He is not here. Behold the place where they laid Him. And according to this theory, they pointed off to another part of the garden and said, His tomb's over there. But there's one thing that leaves out. Right in the middle of that sentence is the astounding announcement, He is not here because He is risen. And if that was a possibility, why didn't they then go to the right tomb? all the rulers and religious leaders had to do to disprove it forever was to say, you went to the wrong tomb, come over here, we'll roll the stone away, we'll show you once for all and forever, and dispel any possibility of a rumor that